Great. So yes, I know most of you know I'm Emily. I've been here for a long time. Emily Lane, I said this first service, I'm like, I'm the worship pastor here. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Like, that was a month ago. I'm just a pastor being sent to the mission field. So I get to share with you today the word of God. I'm excited to be here, to be with you. See what God has to say, what he wants to do this morning. So we have been in a sermon series. Pastor Hollis started it last week called Mountain Movers. It's just about being a person of faith, day in and day out, walking in faith with God in our relationship with him. And like Pastor said last week, it's not just an event like, okay, I'm going to have faith here in this situation. I'm going to have faith in this situation. We walk by faith every single day of our lives, moment by moment. We walk in obedience to God and what he has said. And so even just the word mountain mover, like that's just a powerful statement in and of itself, being a mountain mover. So I'll be sharing from Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 19 today, and I'm talking about Abraham. He was a mountain mover, a man of faith that followed God and took him at his word. And so that's what we're called to. But that phrase mountain mover, it's strong, it's powerful, and it just reminds me of those scriptures about moving mountains. So Mark 11, 22 and 23 says, then Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. And then Matthew 17, 20 says, I tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. And we are called to live by faith. We are called to live in that kind of faith in our God and what he says and what he does. So we're called to live by faith, trusting him, turning to him, listening to him, following, obeying him. And we're called to have a childlike faith. And I think Abraham is a great example of this. Matthew 18, 2 and through 4 says, he called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We are children of God, one, and we are called to have a childlike faith. As a child, what your parents say, you believe. You trust. You don't doubt. You know that that they love you, that they care for you, that they have your best interests at hand, that they're not going to harm you. It's just complete trust and faith in what they say. And so you obey. And that's the kind of faith we are to have with God. We take him at his word. We trust him. And this is what Abraham did. And he is known today as the father of faith. And this is like, there's a couple ways that he's the father of faith. The first way and why he's called it is because he is the father of faith, as in faiths and religions, because Christians can go back to Abraham, the Jews can go back to Abraham, and the Muslims can go back to Abraham. It's when Isaac and Ishmael happened that things kind of started to fall apart. But he is the father of faith, where it comes from. But I believe he's also the father of faith, as in faith. He was a man of God. He was a man of faith that followed God. And he walked in faith throughout his life. He took God at his word. And that's why he's in Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, and why he is one of the heroes of faith. So there's much that we can look at his life and learn from him. So when I was going through this section in Hebrews, there were three things that stood out to me as far as the call, what God had called Abraham to do, and what he has called us to do today. So three basic ways, and they are, he called him to leave, he called him to go, and he called him to continue. But the first thing I have to say that I think is a big deal is just the fact that he called you. Like, he met you and spoke to you, spoke into your life, and he called Abraham by his name. He met him in that place, and he calls each one of us. And the thing that I love about God is when he speaks life, he speaks hope, he speaks destiny and purpose and promise, and That's what he did to Abraham, and that's what he does for you and me today. When he spoke, the earth was created. There's power in his voice, there's power in his words, and there's power in the word of God today. It is still living, it's still active in accomplishing the purposes that he set it out for. So he is still calling, he's still speaking to you, to us today, each one of us. And that alone is a huge thing to know and to walk in. All right, so moving on to the points. So point one, Abraham was called to leave, and we are called to leave. So verse 8 from Hebrews 11, if you want to open up your Bible or your phone, you can do that. They will be on the screen as well. But verse 8 says, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home. So this started in Genesis 12:1. It says, the Lord said, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land I will show you. So we don't know a lot about Abraham's relationship with God prior to this moment in time. We know a little bit about his life. We know that he grew up and lived in Ur of the Chaldeans, which was a large city in Babylonia. And in this region, it was full of idolatry. They served the Sumerian moon god, and it was just full of sin, full of wickedness, darkness, idolatry. And so that's what he grew up in. That was his home. That's what he did. And then further study, Joshua 24, 2 says, Joshua said to the people, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River, and they worshiped other gods. So Abraham's background was one of idolatry, one of sin and darkness. But in this moment, in this Genesis 12:1 moment, he did a 180-degree switch, which is powerful. One of the things is that Abraham, so he met God in Genesis 12:1 is what we're saying. And the thing with Abraham is he listened immediately. He listened and obeyed right away. He departed with his family, with his wealth, with his livestock, with everything that he had, and left everything he knew behind. His country, what he was familiar with, the things that made him comfortable, the things that made him feel safe and secure, everything that was familiar to him, he left it behind to follow God. But God also called him to leave sin. He called him to leave the darkness and the idolatry that he had been living in, the worship of other gods, to leave his past behind. And really, idolatry simply is when we love something more than God, when we put something above him. Now, we might not be worshiping an idol of wood or stone, but there are times in our lives we place things above him, regrettably. And that's not what we're called to do. So he left it all behind to follow the call that God gave him. And we are to do the same. Hebrews 12:1-2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That's each one of us. We have a race marked out for us to follow God. And we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Abraham had implicit faith and obedience. He had absolute faith in what God said. What he said was true. Who he was true. What he said he was going to do, he was going to do. He didn't doubt. And he didn't question. He didn't need qualifications. Okay, God, like, you know, what can you prove to me? Like, how is this going to happen? He trusted God, what he said. So as I was thinking about that, I'm like, okay, so there's this Abraham, he has come from idolatry and darkness and sin and just craziness. And he, in this moment, he encounters God. Like, what did that look like? How did it happen? So a man who's worshipped and lived in idolatry, he's worshipped other gods. He was separated from the one true living God. All of a sudden did that 180 switch. And he encountered God. He met God in that place. He saw him face to face, and God's the only one who really can change anything, and he changed him in that moment, in that encounter. So after one encounter with God, he knew, this is God, this is true, I'm not going back him and leave everything behind in that one moment. Now, God did give promises to Abraham, and these were great and amazing promises, like huge promises for all of time. But just because the promise that was given to Abraham or the promises that are given to you and me, that doesn't mean that they don't come with difficulty or trying times. And that was the case for Abraham. So the call that the Lord gave Abraham, yes, there were great and many blessings, but it was also a trying time, a time of testing. But it was the call of God. So just like you and I today, when we come to Jesus, we come into relationship with him and we receive his forgiveness and all these things that he died for us to have, you know, the bad, the ugly, the bad things in our lives. There are times where those are instantly gone, but oftentimes it's a process that we walk through to get rid of the habits, to get rid of the mindsets. And I think especially in today's day and age, we live in an instant society. We want things gone now. And we have these expectations or these wants, these needs. And I think sometimes people can come into faith or have moments in their walk with the Lord where like I want this now. Like, I have this expectation. Like, why aren't you doing it? And then they give up. They quit. That's not what God has called us to. He's called us to walk by faith, to continue in faith, to know that he's there, that he's leading and guiding us. So there are ups and downs in life, trials and tribulations. But even in those things, that does not change the call of God on Abraham's life, and it does not change the call of God on your life. It's just life. We're human. We live in a fallen world. It's going to happen. But have faith in God. So as a teenager, I was kind of very black and white in my perspective of things, like A plus B equals C. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it and it'll be good. I realize that's not how life works. But I had that idea even with my relationship with God, like in following him and my relationship, my walk with him. Like, there is point A and then there's point B. And like, I'm trying to get to point B, which is, you know, this call, this promise, this destiny that the Lord has for me. And there's a straight line in between. And I just need to stay on the straight line to get to point B. Like, don't screw up. Like, don't sin. Don't get off track. Like, stay on track. That's my goal. And I realized that life's not a straight line. And it's not. So yes, we are trying to get from point A to B. We start in our relationship with God, and we're on this journey with him, and we're walking towards him in faith in this call, this promise that he has for us, just like Abraham did. But the thing is that God will give us his promises. He will give us a call, but he does not show the full picture. He does not give us all the details along this journey, because if he did, we wouldn't say yes, because there's ups and downs and trials and tribulations on that journey. So he gives us the end goal, the picture, so that we walk in faith towards him. So there's this process in between point A, point B, this journey that we're on. And I believe it's just a time that God is wanting to show us who he is, for us to deepen our relationship with him. But he's also working on us. He's you know, taking things away from us, and he's adding things to us. He's refining us. He's refining our character. And we have to go through that process, because with this call, this promise, this destiny, just like he gave Abraham, there's things that need to be worked out in our lives, that character that needs to be established and refined, so that when we get to the promise, when we get to the call, we actually can handle that call and that promise that he's given us. Without that character, we're not going to handle the promise and the call of God appropriately. We'll fail. So we have to go through that. It's not always fun, but God's intentional, and he knows what he's doing. He knows what we need to get to that place and to serve him and it to be good. So that's that. But we have faith, we keep walking, we trust the process, we trust God through that journey, and we keep following where he leads, having implicit faith and obedience to whatever he calls and leads us to, because we can trust him through it all. So we're called to leave. We're called to leave stuff behind. And number two, we're also called to go. So verse 8, again, it says, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and to go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. So Abraham was called into promise. He was called into inheritance. He was called into hope and a future and a life of faith in following God wherever he led. That's what he was called into. Genesis 12, 1 through 3 has that complete promise. It says, the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. So that was the full scope of the promise of God. Huge, eternal, like eternal impacts. And it just reminded me this whole thing of leaving and going and darkness and light. One of my favorite verses, 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who's called you out of darkness and into his light. He's called you. He called Abraham out of darkness into his light, and that is what he's calling us to do. So Abraham's, the promises included the promised land, they included the promise of descendants, and the promise of blessing and redemption. So full of promises of God. And 2 Peter 1:3 says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Through these, he has given us his precious and magnificent promises so that through them, you may become partakers of his divine nature. Now that you've escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires, that darkness and light, we leave the darkness and he's given us everything that we need to live for him in the light, his nature. It's what he's given us. So in following God, we're called to into hope, into faith, into joy, into peace, into all these precious and magnificent promises. We're called into those promises of God. It's what comes with following him. We're called into his identity to believe we are who he says we are. We're called into this all this good stuff. Our God is so good to us. I mean, him dying alone is the best thing, but then he keeps giving and giving and blessing and blessing. He is so good to us. So we're called to go. We're called to step into things and to accept this new nature, these new things that he's given us, these promises that he's given us. And there's another thing, or way we're called, is to have an eternal perspective. So this is from in chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 10. It says, Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. And then again, it's echoed in 13 through 16. It says, all these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So one thing about that I think is interesting is that, so Abraham, he obeyed. He listened right away. He left Haran, where they were encamped, and he immediately went to Canaan, which was the promised land. He made it to Canaan. He made it to the promised land. He lived there, but he didn't possess it. There's a difference. And that didn't happen until Joshua came around, which was way later. So the promise was there. The land was there. They were there. But it wasn't theirs yet. The promise wasn't fulfilled. And this was true for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all of them. They had that same promise, but they didn't see the fulfillment of that promise in their lives. But they had an eternal perspective and held on to hope, knowing that this is what God says, and I'm following and I'm trusting in what he has said. So they kept their faith, they kept their trust, their gaze fixed on God and his promises. They had an eternal perspective. And that's what we need to have. And it reminded me of this eternal perspective. Matthew 6:33 says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Abraham did that. He sought God above everything else and followed him, and God added everything else that he needed. That's what we do. It's how we're called to live. We seek first him and his kingdom, what he says, what he wants. And it reminded me, Galatians 2:20, it's not me. I don't live anymore. It's Christ that lives in me. I'm not living for my own will and my own agenda. I am living for my King and my Savior and my Lord. and I follow him. So I think this whole eternal perspective thing is something that, whether it's humanness or just being in America, I think we're very task-oriented, we're very busy. Sometimes we get so focused on our lives and what's working or what's not working or where we're going, and we see this little box of our lives. And I think, too, the other thing is, like, if you've ever looked at, I don't know, there's a, in the back closet, there's a large yarn piece of work that, I don't really know what to call it, but it has this beautiful picture. And we see the backside that's in knots and tangles and snarls, and we're like, what is going on? Like, this doesn't make sense. But when you step back and you look at the full picture, you see the beauty and how it all works together. And that's that eternal, that big picture that God sees, and he knows what he's doing, and he knows what needs to happen to get it to be this beautiful masterpiece that we're a part of. And so we see here, but we need to have this perspective and trust God that he knows what he's doing. Even if it doesn't make sense to us, even if it's challenging, we trust him and what he says, because he knows what's happening and what needs to happen and what's going on, where we need to go. He has a plan, and he's in control. So we're called to leave, we're called to go. And the last point is we're called to continue. Now, this isn't in the scripture, but I thought it worked. So we're called to leave, we're called to continue, called to leave, called to go, and called to continue. So Abraham was called to continue to walk by faith, even when he didn't see the fruit, even when he didn't see the fulfillment of the promises, or even the possibility of the promises happening in his life. So in verses 9 and 13, the gist of it is he went away and stayed as a foreigner, even though he had reached the promised land. So even though he was there, he was living in the promised land, it wasn't theirs yet. He made it there, but it wasn't there. It wasn't theirs. So just because we have arrived to what we think is the promised land doesn't necessarily mean that the promise is yours yet. Just like Abraham experienced, and Isaac, and Jacob. And just because you've arrived doesn't mean your call is done. The work that God has for you, the call, the promises that he has for you, aren't done just because you've arrived. So even though he was there in the land, he didn't possess it, it wasn't his yet, so he continued to live as a foreigner. But he continued in faith because God said, this will be yours. And then, like I said before, this is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They all had that same promise, but they all continued with that eternal perspective that they had. They didn't look to just their own lives. How is this going to happen in my life right now? They had the big picture, and they trust God. Even if I don't see the fulfillment of this, I know it's true because you said it was true. So they continued in that. Not looking to our own lives, but looking at the big picture and trusting God with that. Another example of continuing is verses 11 and 12 from Hebrews 11. It says, it was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead, a nation with so many people like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. There is no way to count them. So even when things looked hopeless, they looked completely impossible. They had in the waiting and the waiting and the waiting that seemed to go on forever. And when there were doubts or other people around them were doubting, God will still fulfill his promises. But he fulfills his promises in his time and in his way. So Abraham and Sarah, they were old. They were 90 and 100. How could they have a child? But they waited and waited, and they trusted God. But Sarah did become impatient and tried to force the promise and the timing of God. And she doubted that the promise would be fulfilled through her. But the issue is we can't force the hand of God. We can't force him to work and to do what we want to do right now. It does not work. It never works. It harms. When we take things into our own hands and we do things in our own strength and in our own wisdom and our own timing and we force things to happen, we end up birthing an Ishmael, which is an unfulfilled promise. We're forcing the hand of God, And it does not work. That's not him. It's not his ways. And many problems happened because they took it into their own hands and tried to make this promise happen. So while Sarah did doubt and she grew impatient, she learned from her mistakes and she continued in faith that God would fulfill his promise to them. And then God also called Abraham to continue to believe in faith. While he had his own issues of doubting, I was thinking about it. I'm like, okay, so there's Abraham and Sarah, they're believing in God in this promise that he's given them. And then Sarah starts to doubt and plan and scheme and like, okay, well, I'm going to make this happen. To be a person trying to follow the Lord in faith as Abraham, and then to have the person closest to you in life doubting, and I think that can be, to us too, like when we're in life and situations and people around us, we might have our own doubts, but people around us are doubting. I don't know that that's really what God said. We need to press on and to continue in faith that this is what God had said. This is what he has promised us. So he kept the faith and kept moving forward and trusting God. And so like I said earlier, we're on this journey with the Lord from point A to point B. It's not a straight line. We all know that it's a process, but we can't jump ahead. There's not a shortcut to get to the promise. There's not a bridge we can go over and avoid things. We have to follow God. We have to be listening to him, following him wherever he goes. And it might be way over here, and you're like, no, but this is the line. It might be over here. It might be over here. You might feel like you're going backwards. But if you're following God and his voice and his leading, that is the will of God. And like I said before, he's working things that he needs to work to get us to that promise. But there's no shortcuts. We have to go through that promise. It doesn't work to jump ahead in line. He has a purpose for it all. He's intentional. And then another example is verses 17 through 19 from Hebrews 11. It says, it was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, even though God had told him, Isaac is a son through whom your descendants will be counted. Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. So Abraham, on this journey with the Lord, on this journey of faith with God and trusting him, his faith was also tested many times. Just to leave and to go into, you're not told where you're going. You just leave, pack up and leave. That's a test of faith. But I think this was the greatest test of faith. God asking him to sacrifice his only son, the son of promise, a son that all these descendants were going to be to come from, that numbered more than the stars in the sand on the seashore. That is a great test of faith. Great test of faith. Yet once again, Abraham believed God. He believed that God would prove to be faithful, even in a situation that makes no sense. He believed God would make a way. And he continued in faith. He continued to believe and to trust God. He believed that God was able to raise him from the dead, and that the promise would remain. Belief in this, belief in God and who he says he is and what he says he's going to do, he's going to do. Belief in that will carry us through anything. The greatest difficulties that we can face in this life, when we know who God is, when we know he is who he says he is, when we know and trust that what he said he will do, he will do, will carry us through the hardest times in our lives. Because we can trust him. We can trust God. He is faithful to us. And then we just need to work on our doubts and our fears and to remember who our God is. He's almighty. He's powerful. He's faithful. He is our provider. He's not going to leave us or forsake us. So we need to know that and to work that out. So I'm going to have the worship team come. And I just have a question for you, something for you to ponder. So God called Abraham to leave, to go, and to continue. And he's called us to leave, to go, and to continue in faith. So what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? You know, maybe it's something in all these areas, leaving, going, and continuing, or maybe it's just one way that the Spirit is prompting you. So are you called to leave? Are you called to leave sin and darkness, habits that you just can't get rid of? Are you called to leave unforgiveness? Are you called to leave offense? Are you called to leave pride or jealousy? Any form of idolatry, anything that you have been placing above God, your love for him, your affections for him, your time with him? Are you called to leave that stuff behind and to let it go? Or are you called to go? Are you called to step into something new, a new job, a new ministry? Are you called to step into your identity and actually believe you are who God says you are? That you have what he died for you to have? Or are you called to continue? Have you been walking with God a while and you've been waiting and waiting and waiting and praying and praying and praying about something and you're not seeing it? Maybe you're struggling with doubt. Or maybe those around you are doubting. Maybe you need to have to invite people into your life, into this walk of faith, just like Moses had Miriam and Aaron to encourage him and to uplift him in the journey, in the walk. Do you need to invite others in? Do you need to surrender something? Maybe you're hanging on to something for dear life and you need to let it go because he's asking you to lay it down, like Abraham was asked to lay down his Isaac. The way that the promise was to be fulfilled, to lay it down, to surrender. So just ponder that as we go into and sing another worship song. And then however God leads, however he's directing you, respond. He's got you. You can trust him. He's in control. He's not going to leave you hanging. He's right there with you.
Why don't you take a seat? We're going to close the service in just a little different way because it's a special day. As we commission Emily to the work that God has called her to do. And Pastor Emily, good job again. That's the third time I got to listen to the message. And I would say, in each time, what stuck out to me is it's really the message itself is kind of an illustration of Emily's life. God's called her to leave and to go and to continue. And it's an inspiration. And in a very sanctified way, we're so proud of you. And we love you and we're going to miss you. And so part of this is, it's sort of bittersweet. It's, it's a bit of a celebration. Emily's been on staff here 10 years. She's really sewed into the ministry work here at Journey. But also we're going to miss her, right? But I was thinking about it. It's like a chapter change in a book. We're turning a page. But the book is still the story of our lives together. So we're still together in this. And we've had three services this weekend. This is the third service. In the Saturday night service, we recognized Pastor Emily's special connection with the youth because she's really sewn into the ministry of the youth here. And then the first service this morning, we recognized Pastor Emily's connection to the worship ministry. Obviously, she's our worship pastor. So she's connected well there. In this service, we want to recognize, emphasize, and formalize our relationship with Emily as we commission her to the work. It's a co-mission, so we have a part to play, and Emily has a part to play. So I'm going to invite Pastor Fred to come up, and he can talk about that a little bit and explain that a little more.
Thank you. So this is a great day, as is mentioned, for both Emily and for the church. And for the church, because perhaps we have helped you understand that our calling is to, Jesus said, go, make disciples, teach them. And the process of discipling is to send as well. And so that's what we're doing. And this represents today a success, okay, of people taking small steps, all of us taking small steps, on our spiritual journey with Christ, and then sometimes they lead to big steps. So I just want to say with my in all sincerity, congratulations, church. Well done, because you, as a church, have done exactly what God has called us to do. And we should do all the more. Isn't that true? Wouldn't it be great to get rid of more of us? Congratulations, church, because with the help of God, we've done this really well. I know I'm next on the boat, I'm sure. And also for Emily, this is a great day for Emily because she's being sent out, and she's being sent out. I've known Emily, Carla and I have known Emily for 20 years. And let the waterworks start. So we watched you grow and to serve. And it's just been amazing when, 10 years ago when you came to service here, to minister here, it was just amazing because if anything were to describe her, a scripture verse, it would be like 1 Samuel 10 where it says they were looking for the new king and he was hiding among the baggage, because Emily would hide behind music stands, piano, anything to keep from... And now, look at her. I mean, she's pounding the pulpit, calling people to repentance and preaching the word. And what describes her really well is Paul's word to Timothy, which says, and I mean this sincerely, I charge you. Here in the presence of God, who is the judge to the living and the dead, by his appearing of his kingdom and by preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, Emily. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Those are words you would have a hard time with 10 years ago. But you can point your finger and say, yeah, this is the word of God. Walk ye in it now. And for that, we're very, very proud of you. The name Emily means above and beyond. Actually, it doesn't. I don't know what it means. But if it was a new name today, that's what it would mean, because your name means it is above and beyond. And whatever you've done here, you've always done it above and beyond. No matter what you've ever done, it's always been done, Emily, above and beyond. So thank you. That's enough of that. So, but this doesn't end our relationship, because we're going to formalize, as Pastor said, a promise. We promise rings and wedding rings and mortgage documents we signed. They're all covenants. They're symbols of covenants. Covenant comes from the scriptures. It comes from the Bible. It's something that I would call, it's a promise during apartness. During apartness, it's a problem. It's a covenant that is kept during the epitome of covenant keepers or makers would be Jonathan and David, who two times it says they formed a covenant, and they formed a covenant because they had relationship with each other, and because they were making a promise of actions to take when they were apart from each other. And those important. They had a relationship with each other, and they were going to. They promised to do certain things during their apartness. And it was because of one thing. Both of them were committed to the kingdom that was expanding. And so, Emily, this covenant that you have partaken in is written down. We actually, on your behalf, church, we created a covenant. And this includes how she will behave, her actions apart from us, and our actions while she is gone. And Pastor has signed it. Chad from our missions department has signed it. And Emily has signed it. And I'm going to summarize that in a public charge because this is how we behave. This is how we do while we're apart from each other. So, Emily, this is my last chance to embarrass you. I want you to come right up front and face me, okay? And maybe Mom and Dad, maybe mutual support would be good. So why don't you come on down to now? You got to face me, because you're going to make this is a commitment you're making before God. Okay. And so this will be good. A little mutual support. Okay. And Emily is not surprised by this, because this is just a summary of the covenant that she has made with us. Okay. So Emily, as your sending church, we charge you with the following. Stay devoted to the and committed to the calling God has placed in your life, to the mission to which you have been sent and your personal devotion to the one who is sending you. Do not become distracted. And secondly, communicate clearly and regularly with us so that we know how to pray for you and for your needs and how to celebrate what God does through your efforts. Thirdly, remain committed to the covering of Journey Christian Church and to receiving advice and recommendations from the elders and the pastors. And finally, pray frequently for your church here and for our leadership, because we need each other. Do you accept this charge? Yes. She said it. Yes, she did. So church, I would really like for you to stand, because you're representing a lot more people who call this their home. And I want to give you a charge, and I mean this sincerely, and I'm going to ask you to respond by saying at the end, with the help of God, we will. And so church, these three things, will you be faithful to the mission and the purpose God has given to Journey Christian Church, for which God has sent Emily out to the foreign field? And secondly, will you pray diligently and purposefully for Emily as she represents us on the mission field? And finally, will you make every effort to assure that Emily can thrive on the field as a minister without undue concern for her material needs or the appropriate home visits? Will you do so? With the help of God, we will. Okay, Pastor.
Okay, so before you leave, we want to pray for Emily and commission her. And I think you know that around here we take sort of the COVID thing pretty seriously. Thank you for cooperating with that. But we're going to break some COVID protocol, and we're going to do it because we believe that we have a scriptural backing for what we call laying on of hands and prayer. Okay? So let me just read a Bible verse, and I'll invite a few people up to come around, and we're going to pray for Emily. But this is our spiritual authority in this, from Acts chapter 13, verses 2 and 3. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and they sent them off. Something special happens when we put our hands on and pray for people. Okay, this is the mystery of faith. And so I would like to invite the Journey elders, Journey staff. We have our mission committee connect group. I would, if there's some of those people here, I would also like to invite them. Emily has a special mission team that will be watching over her. Any other family members that would like to come around as we pray, worship team members, these special connections that we have with Emily, if you would come around, then I'm going to have Pastor Fred pray. Chad, as one of our elders and mission team coordinator, lead in prayer, and then I'll close us in prayer. Okay? And then you can join your heart of faith where you're standing, and let's pray together.
Let's pray, church. God, you are so good. One day, a long time ago, you sent your son to die on a cross so that we might know what eternal life is, and gave to us this high calling of sharing the good news so that many more people would come to you and be a part of your family, a part of your kingdom. And a long time ago, Emily responded to you, accepting your gift of salvation, and now she goes about proclaiming the good news. So God, to gather together as your church, God, we pour out upon her the anointing that you have given to this church. We pour out upon her, God, the gifting that you have called us, the purpose that this church, the unique purpose of helping people take the next step on their journey toward you. And we pray, God, that there would be a thick anointing upon her, that there would be a specific anointing upon her, so that the words that she speaks carry weight, so that when she declares good news, it penetrates the hearts and the minds of people. When she teaches your word, It revolutionizes those who have surrendered their life to you and they become more fully disciples of yours. We pray in Jesus' name that as she has been received you as Savior, been instructed in your ways and been sent out to make new disciples, others would receive the word from her and be raised up in the teaching of your word and be sent out to reach many more, that your kingdom, God, would be expanded many times over. God, we place upon her the anointing. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before I pray, I just want to tell Emily how much we appreciate her. And it's with personal sadness that we let you go. But speaking on behalf of many families and kids out here that you've poured into, we love you. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you're all-knowing, all-caring, all-powerful, that you have everything good in you and that you want to pass that along to us. So we pray that over Emily now as she departs on her mission. We accept those promises on her behalf. We lift her up to you. We put everything that's in front of her in your hands. Whoever you have there that you want to touch through her, we pray for them now. And we anoint them before she even arrives. We ask for confidence and courage for her. We thank you for all she's done. And we look forward to what she's going to do.
Yeah, and one last thing too, Emily, before I say a final prayer here. As I was praying for you last night, I feel like the Lord gave me just a little word of encouragement for you. And that is that God is honoring your faithfulness to follow him. And in that, there is blessing and reward. And part of that reward is going to be a greater depth of faith for you, which will result in confidence in God that you've never experienced before. Satisfaction and joy in the ministry that, whether you can believe it or not, will surpass your ministry here at Journey. Fruitfulness and fulfillment that comes from heaven, even as we pray, is being deposited into your life today. So God, we thank you for your promises that she would step and into that and walk in that, and that it will grow and deepen and strengthen in her life with every step of faith that she takes. Thank you that you prepared her well for this. Thank you, God, that she is being provided for. Thank you, God, that she will be protected. But we know that it doesn't stop there. It ends with productivity and fruitfulness for the kingdom of God. And Lord, would you anoint this woman as a warrior for Jesus Christ on the field? And it will do damage to the kingdom of darkness, and it will advance the kingdom of light. Hell will be robbed and heaven will be populated through the life of Pastor Emily Lane. Not because she's so great, but God, because you are so great and so good and so faithful. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So as we leave, we're going to sing that chorus one more time. We'll make sure someone lingers in the prayer corner if you need personal prayer today. But can we sing that chorus one more time? And then Emily will be in the back by her table. Don't forget to take a cookie. And we're just trying to get you to take a prayer card so that you remember to pray. God bless you.